It's now 9 o'clock. It's time to call this month's meeting of Tarrant County 911 District Board of Managers meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Rick Brunson?
Here.
Aubrey Insko?
Here.
Robert Briggs? Sam Hall?
Here.
Scott Hostrom?
Here.
Ray Richardson?
Here.
Elena Lilly?
Here.
Chairperson, we do have a quorum.
Thank you. Next item is the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Motion made by Chief Hall?
I'll second it.
Seconded by the mayor. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Motion passes unanimously. Next, we have the legislative update from Mr. Paxton.
All right. Well, first, good morning and thank you for letting me do this via Zoom. I've got a few items to brief you guys on. The next 5 months are going to be really busy and really important for us before we head into the session in January. The first thing I want to talk about is Kai Ash, who I've mentioned before, is the Alliance's lobbyist. And he has had just very preliminary initial meetings with the governor's office, the speaker's office, and the lieutenant governor's office, and has presented the issue to them, and they have indicated the folks that they want on their team, the different senators and representatives that they want to be in the room when we discuss this issue and discuss how we can get a fee adjustment and what other options are available if that's just not in the cards. So we've got meetings set, or we will be having meetings starting next month with different legislators in the House and Senate and the governor to go over this issue. And what we're really finding is we're having to educate and re-educate, because it's very apparent, even to folks who've been there in the legislature for a very long time, that CSEC is not responsible for 911 in the vast majority of the state. So those meetings should start very quickly. The speaker is from Lubbock, Texas, and Senator Charles Perry is the state senator from Lubbock, and the lieutenant governor wants Senator Perry in on these discussions. So we're also working to set up a site visit for the speaker and Senator Perry with Lubbock 911 so they can go in and see for themselves exactly what you folks do. And so that should happen. We're working with Lubbock and both Senator Perry and the Speaker's office to get that set up very quickly. The Lieutenant Governor, we're also trying to do something very similar with him. Starting next month and through November, he is going to go kind of on a tour around the state. And so we're trying to set up a meeting or a site visit for him in one of the locations and areas where he will be going in Texas. So we don't know exactly what his schedule will be, but we know that's going to be very important to try to get him into a 911 district and see exactly how things work and why this is so important. I don't know if you remember, but before last session, the Alliance had Texas Tech commission a study on 911 districts, the fact that our funding levels have not changed since, or the wireless fee has not changed for almost 30 years. And they kind of projected out how these districts could survive, or if they could survive, with funding levels not changing. And then they also studied, well, what if we get a fee increase of 25 cents, how would that look? And then finally they did public opinion polling, which showed the vast majority of Texans support a fee adjustment. That 911 study has been updated since the last year and a half, almost 2 years, when we had it commissioned. We are working on press releases and quotes to package with that study to be able to present that to legislators in the next few months. We're also working on fine-tuning a resolution template for cities and counties to show their support for a fee adjustment. We should have that ready to present after the August 5th Alliance meeting. And on top of that, we're getting a stakeholder letter of support as well. What we're now seeing is carriers are realizing that if we don't have the money from the funding from the legislature, we can't buy their equipment and services. So it's finally registering. They're getting, they're indicating their full support for a fee adjustment or whatever option that is the most palatable to the legislature. So it's a lot that's about to start happening between now and January, so that when we go into this session, we have a directive from the Lieutenant Governor, Governor, and Speaker. We know who our champions are, and we can hit the ground running. And that's all I have for today, unless anyone has any questions for me.
Anyone have a question? Bill, I have one.
Yes, sir.
These site visits, are they local 911 district offices or local PSAPs?
We don't know yet. I mean, ideally, if we could do both, we would do both. I think for Lubbock, it's going to depend on what the executive director up there feels best.
Okay, and the reason why I'm asking the question is, if they go into a PSAP, I think that's great. But while they're there, they need to understand that what we're asking for is the service delivery to that PSAP. That's what the fee increase is for. It's not to support the PSAP specifically.
Yes, sir.
Just keep that clear.
I'll make that very clear to our folks scheduling that.
We thank you for all you do.
Yes, sir. Again, thank you for letting me do this via Zoom. I will see you guys in person next month.
Counting on it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Next is the Executive Director report.
Thank you, Ms. Brunson. Our monthly statistics for May and June are on page 58 through 66 in your hand stapled book there. And first, it's going to speak with Elena about public education analytics. And then Elena will talk about training. And then Sarah can come up for call volumes.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll start with public education. We have not had as many events over the past couple months as y'all can expect, with school being out, especially in June. Safety Smart rallies have kind of been put on pause. We are excited that they will be starting back up in August, so we'll start to see those events occur again. And then we have our first back to school event coming up this Saturday. So those events, of course, have a little bit slow. We've had our typical story times and career days back in May before school let out. Social media platforms are doing fantastic. She has started to put on here also the telecommunicator awards. So just a reminder that we do provide TC awards, and we hope and encourage that y'all staff lets us know if they have a lifesaver award, a stork award, CPR, which is kind of lifesaver, yes, but that's specifically if the TC is giving CPR instructions over the phone. Then great, we can give an award for that. We also have the Above and Beyond, which is exemplary service that one of your telecommunicators provides that ends with a great success. If there's anything like that, please let us know. And then of course, one that's not TC related, but we love to promote also, is the Kid Hero Award. And that's if anybody under 12 years and younger does anything fantastic when it comes to calling 911, we like to promote that. So she's going to start including a lot more. Hopefully, if we get the requests in for the awards, we'll be promoting it. We'll let our PSAP managers know as well. We give them reminders from time to time, but we love seeing it. I don't know what's happening in the water lately, but we've had, I think, three back-to-back stork awards. So we've had three telecommunicators lately deliver babies over the phone. So she's doing a fantastic job. On the training front, very similar. We've had a little bit of a reduction in number of attendees in June, but I think, again, that was just due to FIFA. A lot of agencies had some blackout dates for students being able to attend classes. But going back to May, since we didn't get to tell you, I think we had mentioned it in April, but we had our licensing class that began in April, ended in May, and we had 19 students. All 19 of them became telecommunicators, and all 19 passed their exam on the first attempt. We had also two different instructor classes, which is always fantastic to get new instructors out there. One was a basic, and then the other was an advanced class. Then in June, we again saw a little bit of a reduction down, but we were so happy that we had our very first virtual training that we are promoting. This one was for strangulation response and family violence. She had 12 attendees, and it went fabulous. She's got a lot of interest in the next one that we're going to be having, so hopefully we can get those that can't necessarily leave their PSAPs but still get them some quality training. And then we held one of a new class. Your Verbal Impact was a brand new class on our agenda and catalog, and it had a great turnout of 19 students as well. So we are doing fantastic things. As always, we're hoping that July and August will pick up a little bit more for us. We've seen a good number this month so far. With hopefully FIFA now being done, we'll see more students come in. So, any questions for me?
Any questions? Are you getting traction with the school districts about 911 certification training?
So, yes, I'll be talking about it during the budget one. We have had several agencies wanting information, but TCOL has a lot of requirements that they don't necessarily have the ability to accommodate. So we're getting traction, but not as much buy-in, but we're still having to play it out. We're still working on agreements and such with TCOL to find out what agencies' responsibilities are versus our responsibilities versus theirs. And once we get all that ironed out, I'm hoping we can get some more.
We appreciate all you're doing with that. And remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
It is, and we are working with TCOL. So we want to make sure we keep that relationship active so that we can get a good success out of it. So
thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Ms. Sarah? You'll find the monthly call volume on page 58 for May, 59 for June. Business as usual. There was the ACD configuration change for Fort Worth Fire, so some of those numbers are a little off. They have since corrected, ECATS has since corrected that data, but it was not in on time for this board update. Other than that, just minor increases with the summertime call volume trends. And we'll get more into the FIFA on the FIFA update for call trends there. Any questions?
Questions?
All right.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. On the Alliance update, I would just really like to thank Aubrey McPherson and Chief Hall for coming and supporting us during the Alliance meeting back in June. We had more. I don't know how many we had the first day. I know there's about 45 the next day, the executive board meeting day. They were so impressed, not just the building. I had more thank yous and emails. I had people poaching our employees. Kat, I'm telling you, Kat did such a fantastic job with the overview of what we really do here and what we do for our stakeholders, our citizens, and our 911 centers. I had people calling wanting to know where I got her. Could they have her? Is she willing to relocate? And just overall staff, that everybody was attentive to everyone's needs. Any questions that they had were answered normally before they could even come up with them. They love the tours, they love the education, and they want us to do it again next year. So that made me very happy. I got thank you emails from people that I don't even have a relationship with, but I just know that came. And so that really made me feel like we're doing something very, very well here. And I owe that all to our staff, because they're the ones that stepped up to the plate and made sure that our guests were all comfortable. So thank the board, and thank y'all for doing that for us. As you can see, Bill has been working hard. We had our first legislative committee session two Fridays ago, and we've got our marching orders, and we've all got work to do. And so that committee has got about six people on it, with the Alliance, and Bill and both Anna with Greater Harris County have been both very, very supportive. And we're really looking forward to working with Ash, our new lobbyist for the Alliance. So I love the direction that they're taking. The information that they're giving us is solid, and we've never had that before. And there's always been just, if we just keep trying harder, but I feel like our feet are in the sand, and we've got some traction now. So hopefully this will take us over that finish line, and we can find a sustaining funding source for us. So any questions on the Alliance?
No. Any questions?
No, it was really good. It was nice seeing all the people from all over the state that have the same issues and struggles and get to work together. I think it was a good help.
Not a question, but a comment. Two comments. Staff did a great job. We always say, when we started the planning for this building, we said we wanted an environment where people understood that Tarrant County 911 is not only a leader in North Texas or Texas, but in the country. And y'all showed that. And the second thing that I was really encouraged with was it was apparent that each one of the attendees is like a light bulb went off, that I can be having this issue with a vendor and you can be having this issue with a vendor, but if we all come together as a coalition and say we're going to have one conversation and you're going to hear everybody at that table, it's going to provide the benefits for years. So, good job, everybody. I hope that the budget recommendation for next year includes some type of funding for us to as a hand.
I know. Thank you. I know the next Alliance meeting is in San Antonio. I think both of y'all will be there. I will be going down for the Alliance meeting only, but I would love for y'all to attend.
Okay.
And as soon as I have all that information, we have a new staff member, Josh. Danny, come on up.
I'm not new.
Every day is a new day, Danny.
Good morning, everybody. So this is a long anticipated role that I've been wanting to fill for a long time, for many years now. Josh Benavides comes to us from lastly at Verizon. He has a bachelor's degree in computer information systems with a focus in cybersecurity, and he holds certifications in Security Plus and Network Plus. I'm very excited to have him here.
Welcome, Josh.
Welcome.
Excited to be here.
I would like to say that we didn't think he was ever going to get here, because we hired him, but he was getting married, and then he was going to Japan for a honeymoon.
Nice.
But worth the wait, Josh.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you for waiting for me again.
All right. The Proprio follow-up report. Ben, come and introduce yourself to the board.
Maybe. Hello, everybody. I'm Ben. I'm the quality assurance analyst. And back in April, we did a Proprio kind of issue follow-up. So this is just some review of what's happened over the last couple of months that we tried working with Proprio over and get some things done. I believe it's in your board packet. So I'm just going to kind of go over it real quick. So our communication with Proprio has improved. We have a new email address that we contact them through, and I usually get a response within 48 hours. Latest one took about a week, but that's because our contact was out of town. But usually issues get admitted, and then I usually get a response within a couple of days of what happened. Everything's improved there. Quality assurance process, that was a question that was brought up during the last meeting. I was informed by Proprio that they don't record the calls, they're actually live quality assurance issues. So while the call is going on, they're actually being monitored and it's random. They get randomized once a week, and we ask for some of them to get more frequent ones, obviously the ones that have issues. So the ones that have issues get about 2 to 3 a week now to make sure that the concerns are addressed. We also asked if we can get some of that quality assurance information put on a dashboard. Since the Proprio is now taking it over, since they've combined groups, they said, do you think that they basically have stated that nothing is going on the dashboard as of yet until they can get some stuff handled and worked out within their group, and then they're going to start working with us to get some more of that stuff on our dashboard. We asked about proactive monitoring of the network. They currently don't have a way to proactively monitor the network. Their phone provider, Twilio, is used for monitoring. When their phone provider notices a drop in the network, that's when they notify somebody on their network team. And then that network team starts working to figure out what's going on. The representative for Proprio was going to check to see how often it's monitored. But as of right now, we don't have that answer. They're going to try and work on that some more. Again, that's something that can't be added to the dashboard like we asked until some more stuff gets worked out on. We asked about what training was provided for the interpreters. Their representatives going to provide it to us at a future date. But many of the interpreters have 911 experience, and it's also a promotional opportunity for those who have excelled in the medical interpretation side. For certifications, they're nationally certified interpreters. They have internal certifications, and they go through a rigorous testing process before they work at Proprio. They're working on a tracking log for complaints and issues. We currently have an internal one that we made a long time ago that we track ours. There's actually an example of the very last one of the last issues that we have tracked. But they're going to be working on one internally to keep those tracked for us as well. An issue that we brought up was interpreter disconnects we brought up interpreter disconnects. And Proprio was first initially checks for the reason for those disconnects. If it's the network or a system cause, they identify that cause and then monitor it for the next several weeks. If it was intentional on the interpreter side, they're immediately terminated. Over the last 3 months, they've had 3 interpreters already terminated for that reason. So I thought that was a pretty big improvement. If there's interpreter attitude or there's language quality, they check on it to see what's going on. If a complaint is on attitude, we send them an audio, they check it and go through their quality assurance process. If it's a training issue, they'll just talk to them. They get retrained basically and then monitored for the next 2 to 3 weeks. If they use foul language or they're disrespectful during the call, they're immediately let go. We've had that happen once in the last 3 months. If it's the quality of the interpretation, they follow the quality assurance process, which is basically they monitor them and make sure if there's any coaching that needs to go on, and then just follow up after that. As I said, for the dashboard, they're working on stuff, but it's not going to be for a little while. It's going to be a future date type of thing once we figure out what's their takeover happens and more things there. And then they have a future project. One issue that we brought up was when interpreters select the wrong language, there's no way to actually go back and choose a different language. So they're going to be adding a 1 or a star now. One will make you go back to the main menu, and a star is to select a different language. So they're adding that. That's a future project that they're doing. They haven't given us a completion date for that as of yet. And then the very last page just shows that since April, we've had 8 complaints. 8 complaints. You can see what the outcome of those resolutions were. The most recent one happened at Irving PD we received an issue that the interpreter was not paying attention and that the quality of the phone call was bad. I received feedback on that one. It's hard to determine exactly what happened because the quality is pretty bad. So we're just looking at that a little bit more. That's all I got. Any questions?
overall, how you think they're comparing to, I mean, any other vendor that would be out there? I was just looking, I noticed it seemed like my folks complain a lot, but I'm used to it. If it's just something, you know, they're reporting more than others, or if other people just are, you know, just moving on and not reporting.
I think what it mainly is just other people are just moving on and not reporting it. I am coming up with a document to send out to all the PSEPs to kind of report it to me a little easier, just because I think that's the issue, is that we're just not receiving the reports from other agencies. So we'll hear about it like at a training or something. Oh, I have an issue about this, but okay, I don't know about it.
I think it's just been going on for so long, they've just become comfortably numb to it. It's like,
yeah, and you're busy, you got to move on, so, you know, yeah, the next thing and the next thing. So,
would it be possible for the board to see the format of the dashboard before it goes live?
I can try and have that happen. Because currently the dashboard that we have just shows metrics of our usage and our billing. That's all it literally shows right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. All
right.
Thank you.
That's the whole thing.
Next, we have project updates.
We start on page 72 in your handout.
Willow Springs.
Good morning. Thank y'all for being here in our lovely building once again. And we're slowly but surely finishing up. You guys can probably notice the gates are all working properly. We actually have a railing up around our patio there. So we've been making some good headway. There's still several things that still need to be worked out regarding the boardwalk that's out back, as well as a lot of the landscaping. So that's expected to be finished up here within ballpark next month. And we do have some issues with the humidity in the building, and that's something we're still working out with the contractor. But other than that, we're winding things down. Any specific questions?
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you.
Next gen 911. Miss Sarah.
We are working on finalizing the Next Gen 911 project, as you know, and we're looking at integrating SMS now into the Next Gen Core. So that's the next initiative. We are disconnecting what we're not using, and Ben is pulling a weekly report to make sure we're not seeing any calls on the legacy circuits, but we are disconnecting the test PNEs that we used and the make busy circuits. So we are in process of recouping some of that cost. Any questions on the Next Gen project?
Do you have an estimate?
Estimate of cost?
Being recouped?
Not at this time, sir. It depends on many variables, but we talk about
and you've got them all under control.
We're on it.
I was just going to ask, what is the Next Gen equivalent of the test PNEs that we were using to test?
So there is a simulator that Motorola has that we can kind of borrow, but we are looking at methodologies on replacing. Right now we're just calling 911 and getting transferred. So there is a simulator. I'm not sure how often we're going to be able to use that, but we are looking for some kind of replacement.
Okay.
All right, FIFA. As time allows, I was a part of the emergency management standing call every day. Looks like all the PSEPs handled FIFA very well. There was some drone activity and seizures, but it went surprisingly very well. Unless I hear otherwise from y'all, it looks great. We did look at call volumes and the increase, and it actually looks pretty. We compared a normal day without FIFA, actually had some higher call volumes than a FIFA game day. So we found that kind of interesting. And now we're done. It went really well.
Did you identify a percentage increase though? I know everybody's kind of saying it was just like another day.
So it's that would vary by PSAP. So I know that, I have some numbers here, but you know, Fort Worth, on the June 14th, for example, y'all had roughly 1,500 calls. Comparing that to the July 14th, it's 1,721 calls. But these are game days, right? Arlington had 662 on June 14th and 736 on July 14th, which I would expect they would increase with the games and the rowdiness. But we would have to, if you, if if you wanted overall statistics, we could look at that. We were looking more at a Fort Worth and Arlington perspective.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, done any like preliminary, I'm sure we'll see it next month on the interpretation stats, the how many translation numbers.
So we are you talking about Probio and language line? Or are we
talking about language line? Was there really that much of a spike? Or
that we will look at, yeah, next month and evaluate those inquiries. Yeah. But that would be interesting. All right, any questions?
Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Thank you. With that, we will adjourn into executive session pursuant to Chapter 551, Texas Government Code. The district reserves the right to convene an executive session from time to time as deemed necessary during this meeting. Section 551.071, consultation with attorney. Section 551.074, personnel matters. And Section 418.183F, Texas Disaster Act.
Sarah Monty, Kevin,
Delta. Every day.
What?
Every day we were slower.
Yes.
Give me 2 seconds. I'm just going to swap over.
Yeah. Recording stopped.
At 9:32.
We had a brief standard.
Yeah,
it's really not.
Yeah, we were really expensive. We had braced open, but we started knocking down our staffing.
Yeah, we did too.
You're good.
It's 9:55 and I'm calling this meeting of the Tarrant County 911 District Board of Managers back into session. Seeing no actions required out of the executive session. Do we have any public comments? Seeing none, at 9:56 we are bringing this meeting to a close. Thank you everyone.